Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And I'll read for you verses 2 through 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we come to his word. Father, we thank you for the example that is set before us today in your word. Exemplary prayer requests by a faithful man of God. Oh Lord, I pray that you would move us to be ever more dependent upon you through prayer. And may your time, our time in your word this morning, shape us, grip us, convict and challenge us, and comfort our hearts in you today. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my sermon this morning is Exemplary Prayer Requests. Exemplary Prayer Requests. Imagine yourself in prison for simply being faithful to Jesus Christ. We didn't have to look very far over this last year to see a man like James Coates, a pastor over in Canada, who for simply being faithful to Jesus Christ and gathering the flock to preach the word of God was imprisoned. What would your prayer requests be? Would it be that please pray that I would find favor in the eyes of the authorities so that I could get out of here? Or would you pray or ask people to pray that no matter what happens to me here, that I would continue to be faithful to Jesus Christ? Perhaps to bring it closer to home for us, what are our prayer requests like now, when facing difficult or adverse circumstances? Do you simply pray for relief? Do you simply ask God for deliverance from the hardship that you are facing? Or do you pray for God to help you make it through in such a way that honors Him? Is further faithfulness to Christ your greatest concern in this life? This is what we see in the Apostle Paul. That faithfulness to Jesus Christ was his greatest concern. That regardless of the circumstances that he is in, his greatest desire is to be faithful to his master, faithful to his Savior, faithful to the task that Jesus Christ himself called him to. And you can learn a lot about a person by what they pray for, especially in the midst of suffering. And what we find in Paul is exemplary prayer requests in the face of persecution. In the face of adversity and hostility, Paul almost seems as if he's not concerned with his own well-being at all. That he would rather honor Christ than preserve his own life. And that is exactly what he told the Ephesian church elders, essentially right before he was arrested and put in prison in the time in which he wrote this letter to Colossae and Philippi and Ephesus and Philemon. In Acts chapter 20, Paul gathers the Ephesian elders to give them one last set of instructions, thinking that he would not see them again. And he says to them in verses 22 through 24, "And now, behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." Paul says, no matter what it costs me, no matter the hardship that I'm about to endure, I simply want to be faithful to the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see that is the case. Even when he gets arrested and after appealing to the Jews and giving them his testimony and proclaiming the gospel and saying, hey, the gospel is also for the Gentiles, he gets shipped off to Rome, which is where we find him again when he writes this letter to Colossae. And also in Philippians, you see that he does remain faithful to the hardship. Because in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, if you remember, when he writes to some of his closest friends, he doesn't say, hey, look, everything's going okay here, I'm fine, don't worry about me. He simply says in Philippians 1, 12, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel." In other words, I'm so thankful that I have been placed here because God is now using my circumstances as a platform for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So that my imprisonment, he says in verse 13, in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And even in verse 14, most of the brethren trusting the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. He's in prison for proclaiming the name of Christ, and all he can think about is further spread of the name of Christ. In the parallel passage to Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, and in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul would write similar words to them in requesting prayer from the believers in Ephesus. Verse 18, he says, "With all prayer and petition at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." The greatest concern for the Apostle Paul was the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, please pray that no matter the cost, that I would be faithful to the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus. And so what we have in Colossians chapter 4, in particular verses 3 and 4, are three specific requests that Paul asks the church in Colossae to pray for him as he is chained to the Roman guard, that really demonstrates that allegiance to Jesus Christ, that devotion to Jesus Christ, that faithfulness to Jesus Christ is what is most important to Paul. Three exemplary prayer requests. Number one, the first thing that he asks the saints in Colossae to pray for is gospel opportunity. Gospel opportunity. Look at the beginning of verse 3. He says, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word. Last time we considered the command that Paul gave to the Colossian believers to devote themselves to prayer from verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. And he says to them, while you are praying for everything else, pray for us as well. And it is instructive to us that Paul here asks for prayer. That the very one that said to the elders of Ephesus, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from Jesus Christ, that a man with such boldness would need prayer from others. And yet we see the truth that Jesus taught his disciples in the upper room, that apart from Christ you can do nothing. And you see that being lived out in the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. In other words, Paul knew that if he was going to be faithful to the ministry that he had received from Jesus, he would need God's help through means of prayer. In this request, we find the power, at least in part, behind the depth and breadth of Paul's gospel ministry. Here we have the secret to Paul's readiness, the secret to his boldness and faithfulness for the gospel, and the power of God to work the grand ways in which he did through the preaching of Paul. You see, Paul is dependent upon God and dependent upon the prayers of others in order to fulfill the responsibility that he has before God. This is very instructive for us as we consider perhaps the most mature Christian in his time to ask for prayer in the midst of his suffering and to ask for the type of things that he asks for. That no matter how mature a believer you might be, you are always in need of prayer. In other words, there's never a moment in our Christian lives where we will rise above our need to depend upon God. And in fact, the most mature believers in the Bible, people like Daniel, are seen to have the most vibrant prayer lives. I love how Calvin put it here in relation to this example that we have in Paul. He says, as we have a signal example of modesty in the circumstance that Paul calls others to his assistance, so we are also admonished that it is a thing that is replete with the greatest difficulty to persevere steadfastly in the defense of the gospel, and especially when danger presses in. In other words, if a Christian as mature as Paul needs prayer to be faithful to Christ, so do we. It is amazing to me how often Paul asks for prayer. We won't go to all those places, but even in places like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, when his life is not in danger at the moment, he's asking for them to pray. Have you ever asked someone how you can pray for them and they respond by saying, oh, everything's fine right now, or something of the sort? Or perhaps maybe you have responded that way. No, nothing major is going on. I'm good. Maybe you're gathering around for our fellowship time on that last Wednesday of the month, and you're praying together, and you have no prayer requests in that time. Sometimes it's because we simply have too low of a view of prayer, or too high of a view of ourselves. There is never a moment when we are not in need of God to help us to be more faithful to Him. Whether it be in evangelism, when in doubt, just ask people, hey, pray that I would be more faithful to proclaim Christ wherever I am this week. Whether it be in discipleship or marriages or parenting or something like that, there is never a moment that we are not in need of God's grace and God's help through prayer. And perhaps yet the greatest reason for our lack of consistency and growth is how little we ask God for help. As much as you could say that Paul's life was a life devoted to Jesus Christ, you could say that his life was a life devoted to prayer. And you can never have one without the other. So, Paul says, at the same time, pray for us as well. And what are his requests? Well, the first one, as I mentioned before, is for gospel opportunity. Look again at verse 3. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word. He says that God will open up to us a door for the word. Notice here that prayer is a recognition that God is the one in control of all things. And in particular, even gospel opportunities. Prayer is dependence upon God for God to act in accordance with his sovereign prerogative. And here Paul demonstrates that he believes that nothing will happen apart from God's gracious involvement. And what is it that he desires for God to do for him and his associates in the midst of his imprisonment? Simply to give him more opportunities to preach the word. That God would open up the door for the word. Paul's request is not that the prison doors would be opened, but rather that the door of opportunity would be opened for the preaching of the gospel. He says, a door here, which speaks of opportunity. That even though Paul is in prison, that God would still give him the opportunity to preach the gospel. And the prayer is a request for a decisive act that God must perform. In other words, Paul writes this in such a way that he recognizes that he's in total dependence upon God for God to do the work through him. For God to give opportunity to continue to preach the gospel. Whenever we find Paul talking about a door in this figurative sense in relation to the ministry of the gospel, it's always in relation to the ministry of the gospel. He wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in verses 8 and 9, Verse 7, he says, "For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." In other words, there's a great opportunity for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached here, where I am, in Ephesus. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 12, he says, "Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia." He says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place." The door was open for him. And the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Christ was manifest through them in every place. And in Acts chapter 14, when Paul and Barnabas come back from their first missionary journey, they come back and tell the church all that God has done through them. In Acts 24, verse 26, from there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had accomplished. When they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. The opportunity that Paul speaks of is the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul always viewed the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ as an opportunity given to him by God. It was something of a privilege to Paul to get to preach the gospel. He preaches the gospel, he gets arrested, and he says, just ask that God would give me more opportunities to preach the gospel. How often do we view getting to share the gospel as an opportunity and a privilege? How often is it that we are thinking throughout the day, Lord, please give me an opportunity here to proclaim your name? And yet, that's what we see with Paul, no matter the circumstance. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, he would say that the ministry that he was given was a mercy gift of God. And so we find here in Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, that Paul is more concerned about getting out the message of the glorious mystery of Christ, the gospel, than he is about getting out of prison. And again, Calvin puts it so vividly. He says this, he does not ask that prayers may be poured forth by the churches on his behalf, that he may be delivered from the danger of death. He is contented with this one thing, that he may unconquered and undaunted persevere in a confession of the gospel. Nay, more, he fearlessly makes his own life a secondary matter as compared with the glory of Christ and the spread of the gospel. What an incredible thought. Do you view your life as of secondary importance in comparison to the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And notice how Paul does not put the emphasis on himself. He says that God will open up to us a door for the word. The emphasis that Paul places here is on the word. It's not Paul or his associates that enter through the door. It is the word. And it is only the word that has the power to transform lives. Paul asks them to pray for gospel opportunity. And you know what? God answers that prayer in abundance. He answers that prayer. That the Colossian saints would pray, that the Ephesian saints would pray for God to open up a door for the word. We read this passage earlier, but in Philippians chapter 1, we see that, going the wrong way there, we see that, as I said before, the circumstances that Paul was in prison were used to make greater progress or further progress of the gospel. Look at what he says. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard. That was 8,000 strong minimum. And to everyone else. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. In other words, Paul has had the opportunity to preach the gospel not only to 8,000 soldiers, but to everyone else, and even those outside of the prison walls, if you will. Other Christians were gaining more courage to go and speak the word of God without fear. So much so, there in Rome, that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 22, Paul says, all the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Caesar, who would have you bow to him as Lord and no one else, have from his own household bowing only to Jesus as Lord through the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you get to see this ministry of Paul lived out in Acts chapter 28. this answer to the prayer requests and the praying of the Colossian church and the Ephesian church, and certainly others. Look at Paul's life as he's chained to the Roman guard. In verse 16 it says, when he entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. After 3 days, Paul called together those who were the leading men of the Jews, and when they came together, he began saying to them, brethren, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of Romans. Now, this is before Paul even writes the letter to Colossae. And when they had examined me, they were willing to release me because there was no ground for putting me to death. But when the Jews objected, I was forced to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had any accusation against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I requested to see you and speak with you, for I am wearing this chain for the sake of the hope of Israel. The hope of Israel being the Messiah, being Christ. They said they desire to hear from him in verse 22. And verse 23, when they had set a day for Paul, they came to him as his lodging at his lodging in large numbers, and he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and from the prophets from morning until evening. In other words, he's just preaching the word of God, particularly about Christ. Some were persuaded, others weren't. Then he would preach with all boldness to quote from the Old Testament to say, look, it was already said of you that you would have a lack of hearing, spiritually speaking. And he says in verse 28, therefore let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will also listen. But then you get down to verse 30 and 31, you see the answer of the request. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness unhindered. In other words, God had swung the door wide open for the ministry of the word. Paul says in Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, chained to a Roman guard, hey, please pray for more gospel opportunity and God answers. The second thing that Paul asks for prayer for is gospel courage. Gospel courage. Look back at verse 3 in Colossians chapter 4, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. Here, the word is more defined as the mystery of Christ. And Paul asks the Colossian church to pray that he would proclaim the mystery of Christ, which is the very thing that got him put in prison in the first place. He's saying, help me, or ask God to help me to speak forth this mystery for which I have also been imprisoned. He's asking for boldness. Knowing that what he's requesting is the very thing that got him arrested. He would say it this way, as we read before in Ephesians chapter 6. At the end of verse 19, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul is asking them to pray that he would not cower when the opportunities arise. When I have somebody's ear, pray that I will declare with boldness to speak forth the very thing that got me arrested in the first place. What is this mystery of Christ? Well, he's already talked about it in Colossians chapter 1 and chapter 2. And look at verse 24. Where Paul is describing his ministry, he says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. In my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, the mystery is something that was not fully laid out for God's people in past ages, but now has been more fully revealed in Jesus Christ himself. And in particular, the Messiah indwelling the Gentiles themselves. It has to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that through Jesus' perfect life and death and burial and resurrection, through faith and repentance, you can have Christ in you. It really was this preaching of Christ being offered to the Gentiles that put Paul in prison in Acts chapter 22. Paul has been arrested in Acts chapter 21 in the temple of Jerusalem, and in chapter 22 he is giving his defense before the Jews before he would be shipped off to Rome and live there in prison in chains with the guard for those 2 years. And he tells them all of what has happened to him, giving them his testimony of like in Acts chapter 9, when God graciously intervened in his life and the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him directly, opening his eyes to genuine salvation, right in the midst of his persecution. And he's just telling them what Jesus had told him in verse 21. And he said to me, "Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles." He tells the Jews, this is what Jesus himself has told me. Look at verse 22. They listened to him up to the statement. He had his ear. He had their ears until he mentions the Gentiles. And then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live." And as they were crying out and throwing off their cloaks and tossing dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks, stating that he should be examined by scourging so that he might find out the reason why they were shouting against him that way. And then goes the rest of his arrest and his imprisonment. But they listened to him all the way up until he mentioned the inclusion of the Gentiles in the gospel. That is the mystery of Christ, that the Messiah is Savior of both Jews and Gentiles. It really is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says it's for that mystery, that which was hidden in ages past and now has been revealed to you through the preaching of the word. It is for that which I have been imprisoned. Paul says, when opportunities arise, please pray for boldness to speak of this same mystery. You see, Paul is consumed with the advancement of the gospel. And that really never changes in his life. Later on, when he would be arrested again, and right before he would be martyred under the order of Nero, he would say to Timothy in some of his final instructions, remember Jesus Christ in 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. Paul was obsessed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was consumed with this one theme. Not his own well-being and safety, Again, something very instructive for us in a culture that is obsessed with health and safety. Being propagated as virtually a virtue. Come to Walmart, we're safe. Safety is not the goal for the Christian life. Faithfulness to Christ is. Paul really is a real life illustration of Jesus' instruction in Matthew 6, 25 through 34, where Jesus instructs the disciples in the great Sermon on the Mount, hey, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your needs. I will provide them. You instead seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added unto you. That was Paul. That was Paul. You see, this world is not our home. We are citizens of the gospel and citizens of heaven, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3 and chapter 3. And more, and here now, more than ever, we need to learn to say with Paul, to live as Christ and to die as gain. Our lives are to be all about Christ. And Paul wasn't seeking a death wish. You know, sometimes you, like when you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, it's some of those men and who were martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's some were like pleading to be burned at the stake for Christ. That's not exactly the goal. He's not seeking a death wish, but rather simply boldness in the face of hostility, opportunity in the face of opposition, no matter what it might cost him. We can learn a lot from Paul. How this must be one of our primary prayer requests. That we who have essentially all the freedom in the world to say whatever we want to say to whoever we want to say it, should have the courage to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost world around us. Now, we're not apostles like Paul. But in the Great Commission, as disciples of Jesus Christ, and as being a part of the church, just like we were instructed last week from Dr. Murphy, we're all called to make disciples. And part of that making disciples entails going and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And so, ask someone this week to pray for you to have gospel courage and see how God answers that prayer. Finally, the third request, exemplary request that we see from Paul in Colossians 4, verse 4, is gospel faithfulness. Gospel faithfulness. He says, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Notice the switch from the plural us. Pray for us as well, that God would open up to us a door for the word, that we may speak forth the mystery of God, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Paul is here highlighting the reality of his personal need for God's grace in this moment, of his personal dependency upon God, that if he's going to be faithful to the ministry of the gospel that he has received from Christ, especially in the face of opposition, that he needs God's help through prayer. And so Paul asks for faithfulness to the task at hand. Look at what he wants them to pray for. He says, that I may make it clear. That is to say, that I may make it manifest, or that I may be faithful to give full disclosure to the mystery of Christ. He's asking them to pray that he would make it really understandable to them, but by holding nothing back. Paul's request is that When the opportunities arise to proclaim the mystery of Christ, not only to have the courage to speak the mystery of Christ, but also that he would make it clear. That he would preach and teach with clarity. See, he's not looking to wow the crowd. He never was. Like the mystics who wanted to use their deceptive philosophies to entertain the masses. He wasn't looking to be sought after for his oratory skills. And in fact, many people despised the Apostle Paul, as he says in Philippians chapter 1. And they were preaching the gospel in such a way as against Paul in some way or another. They didn't want to be associated with him. He just says, simply put, I want to make the message as clear as possible. He wanted to make sure that he did exactly what he tells Timothy to do when he passed the baton on to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, that verse that if you ever went to Awana, right? A workman, not ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, accurately handling the word of truth. The carpenter's term, cutting it straight, being able to place that piece right in its exact spot where it needs to be put. Handling the word of God with absolute clarity, with absolute accuracy. He says, I want to preach it and preach it clearly. But here's why. The end of verse 4, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. The way I ought to speak. That word ought speaks really of divine necessity. In other words, this is an obligation for Paul. It's not something that he's just choosing to do. Paul is obligated to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and handle the word with accuracy. This is divine compulsion. This is something that is required of Paul, something that is a must. And so he's asking, help me to be faithful, O God, to the call that you have placed upon my life. Not only did Paul always see it as an opportunity, he always saw it as the obligation of his life, and it was. You remember in Acts chapter 9 and verses 15 through 16 where it's said after Paul is converted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is speaking to Ananias and he says, go, speaking about Paul, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake, for my name's sake. You know, Paul understood exactly what Christ wanted from him, because he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 14, he says, I'm under obligation, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, verse 15, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Why? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, when he's talking about I do all things for the sake of the gospel, he says, for if I preach the gospel in verse 16, I have nothing to boast of. For I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. You see, Paul was given a task by Christ. And he's asking the Colossian believers to please pray that he would remain faithful even in the midst of the opposition that he is enduring. Even later in 1 Timothy 2, when he would be out of Rome, out of prison in Rome, He would say, I'm a teacher to the Gentiles. It's something I must do. So rather than asking the Colossian saints to pray for his freedom, Paul requests that they pray for his faithfulness. Paul is asking for prayer from the Colossian saints that he would be faithful to the task that God required of him. These really are exemplary prayer requests for us. Again, not that we are apostles, but we have been called to gather here and to be equipped for the ministry and to go out and proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and then make disciples. And so a constant prayer request and a constant thing that we can be praying for ourselves and for others in this church body really is that we would be faithful to the task that God has called us to. It is important that you do the jobs that God has given to you. But God didn't save you to be a mechanic, first and foremost, or to be a police officer, or to be a farmer, or whatever else you might do as your occupation. God saved you for the specific purpose and left you here for the specific purpose that you would proclaim the name of Christ wherever you are. Wherever you are. Your calling is to Christ. And so, here we have the exemplary request. He says, I want you to pray that gospel opportunities will arise, and when they do, I want you to pray that I would simply preach the word, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it alone is the power of God unto salvation. And when I preach it, I want you to pray that I will articulate it clearly so as to be faithful to the calling that Jesus Christ himself has placed on my life. Paul is saying, pray that I will make good on my statement that I made to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20:24, that I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. You see, we need to pray about everything, but for sure what we need to pray for is that God would open up a door for the word, and that we would be faithful to then proclaim his word. Father, thank you for this tremendous privilege. To not only know Jesus, but to get to be mouthpieces for him. Those who at once were entrenched in sin, with lips that were characterized by iniquity, have been made clean through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and been commanded to go and preach your truth. That from our unholy lips, we get to speak the most holy message. Lord, I pray that we would learn from the example of Paul really to live as Christ and to die as gain. That we have nothing to lose for proclaiming Christ and everything to gain. Pray that you would help us to be bold with the gospel, that we would be faithful as a church, and Lord, that our prayer lives would be marked by devotion and these types of requests. In Jesus' name, amen.